It's all really cool.
Yeah, no diss on books.
They're still important.
Very important.
So should we play a couple more of Kelsey's tracks?
Let me plug this museum show.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll play a song related to that and move back into Kelsey's list and come back and talk to her.
Just a reminder, you are listening to WUVT-FM 90.7 Blacksburg.
And the Stacks on Stacks radio show.
And the Stacks on Stacks radio show.
And one of the good friends of the Stacks on Stacks radio show, the weekly broadcast of the University Libraries, is the Blacksburg Museum and Cultural Foundation. And they have a concert coming up March 7th at the Alexander Black House featuring Teleco. That's March 7th at 7 p.m. at the Alexander Black House on 204 Draper Road Southwest in Blacksburg, Virginia. Doors open at 6:30. Some more information about the show is that the $20 will get you general admission to it, and $25 will earn you a VIP ticket, which looks like it's basically just better seats. And there's a portion of the proceeds benefiting the museum, light refreshments provided, beer and wine available for purchase. For more information, visit blacksburgmuseum.org or call 540-443-1600. The band again is Teleco. Teleco features the singing and songwriting of Anya Hinkle on guitar and fiddle and Stig Stiglitz on bass and harmonica, with Aaron Balance on dobro and Jed Willis on mandolin and claw hammer banjo. So it's a folksy bluegrassy thing, and I think I have a little of it here that I can play for you all. Here off the 2018 Organic Records release, Woven Waters, is Teleco with Palisades.
In the perfect day, near the misted shore, shines below us as above. Through the twisted oak and the pine needle sage, these sands so coarse and tough. Fires burn and the small talk wanes and the moon shines o'er the hill. Under star-filled skies, past our very name, these waters calm and still. Where does your sun rise? What do your eyes see? They stand alone. Where does your sun rise? What do your eyes see? Do you long for me tonight? Do the clouded skies hide the moon's full gaze? Do you long for your love tonight?
Thank you very much. We had a request to do Cry Me a River. Feels like an ocean up here.
There's a time for love and laughter. The days will pass like summer storms. The winter wind will follow after. But there is love and love is warm. There is a time for us to wander. When time is young and so are we. The woods are greener over yonder. The path is new, the world is free. There is a time when leaves are falling, the woods are gray, the paths are old, the snow will come when geese are calling. Need a fire against the cold. There is a time for us to wonder when time is young and so are we. The woods are greener over yonder, the path is new, the world is free. Roaming in the springtime, and you'll find your love in the summer sun. The frost will come and bring the harvest, and you can sleep when day is done. There is a time for us to wander when time is young and so are we. The woods are greener over yonder, the path is new, the world is free. The path is new, the world is free.
We'll be right back.
Are you curious about affordable, accessible yoga? If so, you could join the Blacksburg Yoga Collective every Monday through Thursday evening for donation-based classes. For more information, you can find them on Facebook or visit blacksburgyogacollective.com. So, you are listening to Stacks on Stacks, the University Library's radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, our in-studio guest is Kelsey Hammer.
Hello. Hello.
Digital Literacy and Multimedia Production Librarian with the University Libraries. And person with a made-up name? Is that...
Yeah. We need to come up with a short... I keep being like, I need a shorter version.
Of Hammer?
No, Hammer's perfect. It's great. Also, my name is basically Kelsey Grammer. And so occasionally when I call for restaurant reservations, they think I'm like pulling it over on them. And I'm like, no. I'm real. Please like, give me a table for two. But yeah, it's a good last name. It's a strong one.
Yeah, very strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about what it means to be a digital literacy and multimedia production librarian with the University Libraries and just in general.
Yeah.
And so far, it's about making stuff and helping people make stuff.
That's right. Yeah. Digital literacy is something that even people who are like study digital literacy are still debating what this means. But that's kind of what.
So give us the elevator speech.
Yeah.
What does digital literacy mean?
So it is sort of the knowledge, attitudes, and skills when it comes to working in digital environments, working with digital tools, and sort of creating a digital identity. But, you know, like, what does that actually mean? So a lot of people think DL is about, you know, teaching your mom how to use your iPhone or learning how to cut a video in Premiere. And that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the technology or the skills. It's also, like, knowing how to brand yourself on Twitter. You know, say you're an artist and you want to get your stuff out there. How do you do that? And how do you make those decisions? It's also about ethics and curation and all these wonderful things and that go into creating stuff and putting yourself out there in the digital world. All the scary stuff, but all the good stuff too.
Yeah, so how to make stuff, but also then how to communicate what you've made and about what you've made.
Yeah.
And the flip side of that, obviously, is as a producer, you develop your sophistication and savvy as a consumer.
Right. So the more you consume, the more that affects your production. And the more you produce, it affects what you consume. One of my favorite things about digital literacy, too, is that, you know, sometimes on a college campus, we get really funneled into just doing, you know, our academics or our research, or sometimes thinking about, you know, how do I get that job afterwards? And that's a big part of it. But digital literacy is also like your personal life. You know, how do you find health information? How do you find the closest ramen restaurant? I mean, these are all
very
important things. You know, how do you choose, you know, the music that you come play on a radio show? It all feeds into that as well.
Sounds like you conceptualize it as having a significant overlap with cultural literacy.
It does. Media literacy, information literacy. Some people say digital literacy is kind of the umbrella under which everything else falls. That scares some people, but I'm a believer. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I got into it in undergrad. It's often paired with rhetoric and English and kind of these conversations about how do we compose and educate. And then, I kind of got swept away. And here I am now. On a radio show.
You've arrived.
Producing content. Yeah,
this was it. This was the full journey. After this, I can retire.
Already? You're
already.
All done?
Yep. I turned 26 next month. I'm waving goodbye to working. I shouldn't jinx myself.
You
I'm now knocking
well.
On the
yeah.
desk of the studio.
Well, should we talk about some ways in which you're doing some of this, some of the programming, some of the stuff that's going on in the library to
yeah, totally.
Talk about this stuff?
Yeah, so one big thing we've got going on right now is the studio workshop series at Newman Library. So if you don't know, Newman Library has a ton of awesome studios, places where you can get equipment, software, help, anything you need to kind of make cool stuff. So if you want to do a podcast, a video, make a cool print publication, you know, take your Twitter or your Instagram game to the next level, we can help you do that. So there's a whole bunch of really cool classes on VR, coding, Adobe products, anything you might need. You can check those out on the library website. I'm teaching some coming up about how to find free content to use in your art, how to share your art with the world, and also one on how to make Photoshop social media stuff. So yeah, definitely check that out. And yeah, we've also got coming up in April, keep an eye out, the Digital Literacy Symposium. And we're going to be talking about how to sort of unpack your digital identity. So how to kind of look at where you are online, and also how to make yourself into what you want to be online. We're going to have some really cool speakers, and it's
yeah,
going to be fun.
The more details you give us, the more we will share.
Yes.
As we get closer to that event.
Yes.
So the details are still...
So coming out, I believe it's going to be on April 4th. There's going to be a save the date coming out soon. But we've got a cool keynote speaker lined up. We're going to have some panels and some workshops. And it's for faculty, students, anyone who's interested in kind of going into a deeper dive of what it means to kind of brand yourself online or protect yourself. There's so many different angles of that. And we're going to try and hit all of them.
And that's all going to be happening in the library?
Yes, it's going to be at Newman Library. More information, schedule, all that kind of stuff to come out. But definitely come and check it out. We're buying swag right now, so we hope we have some cool swag. I'm a big swag fan. It's not a symposium or a conference or a library if there's not cool swag.
Also, will there be food? Refreshments are always...
Even as I say it, I'm like scared now. I will make sure to bring granola bars. I'm sure there will be really great food, but just as a backup, I promise. You come for food, I'll get you something. You a bag of chips.
As details emerge, we'll certainly continue to keep the folks
keep an eye out.
Informed. Mm-hmm. But if people want to watch it themselves, they go to the library website and see as the details become available.
Yeah, and also library Twitter. Check it out. Always cool stuff coming out about our workshops and things we've got going on. And yeah, you can stay up to date. And all that's happening.
Cool.
Want to back announce some of the music you chose for us?
Yeah. Where should we?
What did we play in that last set?
So the start of that set was the Teleco piece from the carryover from our announcement. But then we had Ella Fitzgerald's "Cry Me a River." We did all live stuff, right?
We had Ella live at Zardy's.
Well, Cindy Lauper wasn't live in the Goonies, but I wish.
I lied.
We did.
That wasn't real, the Goonies.
But was it though? Was it? But yeah, Cindy Lauper and the Dillards both live in Los Angeles.
And Ella Fitzgerald and the Dillards.
Because
Cindy Lauper wasn't live, as per your
now. Now
statement.
I'm lost. Cindy Lauper's famous track "Cry Me a River" from the film The Goonies, starring the Dillards. Just want to make sure that's clear on the air.
That was just a joke.
Yeah, in libraries we like to keep information straight. No goofing.
No.
But I recently found that the Ella Fitzgerald album live at Zardy's, which I think, information correct, recently just has kind of been recovered and shared out with the world. But it's a really great recording. It's got a lot of like audio ephemera, so you can hear the band members kind of like complaining about how hot it is. You can hear people's like plates clinking, and at certain times the audience will shout out songs, and Ella, it's like, I don't know that song, but I'll give it a go, and she'll just make up lyrics, and it's masterful, of course. And sometimes they're trying to run her lyrics and they don't get there in time, and she'll be like, the song's not here, like she like is filling, and it's wonderful. I can't believe I just sang on the radio. You're welcome, everyone.
I'm just so excited you used one of my favorite words, but in a totally different context. So
ephemera?
Like ephemera is one of my favorite words in the archives world.
I knew you were gonna key on.
But like I was like
I love it. Yeah, because digital ephemera is one of my faves, and print ephemera also.
Yes.
Yeah, we can talk about how I'm a huge archives nerd a little later in the show, but
we'll save that for the end of the show.
Yeah. But yeah, great, the Live at Zardy's album is great. And then the Dillard song, a little bit back to our TV discussion, is a Andy Griffith reference. I don't know if anybody has deep dived into the Andy Griffith show, but I threw that out there. But yeah, the Dillards played the band The Darlins on that show, and they would come play bluegrass music. And for a lot of people, at the time, that show was a really big show in the United States. And for a lot of people, that was their first introduction to bluegrass music. And I love that show. I grew up in North Carolina, and my parents both loved that show, and we spent a lot of time watching it. And they perform a lot on the show, and that song's always been my favorite go. And we also played that Mipso, The Couple Acres Greener. I did not realize till prepping for the show. Also, I got really Southern when I started talking about North Carolina.
You did.
Sorry, y'all.
Sometimes it happens.
It happens. But I didn't realize those are two of my favorite sort of old-time music or bluegrass songs. And they're actually really similar. And I never put that together till I was putting this playlist together. But yeah. You know?
There you go.
It's good stuff. Have you guys ever watched Andy Griffith's show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like a lot, but yeah. I've seen episodes, not like consciously have I sat down.
Oh, you haven't seen a lot of the Andy Griffith Show?
No,
it's good. It's a
you know, Richie Cunningham's on it. As a little boy.
Yeah.
Little. He's credited as Ronnie Howard, which always makes me laugh
yes,
a little
yes,
bit.
I did know that.
Yeah. But,
I just recently on TCM saw Andy Griffith in a film called A Face in the Crowd.
That's an intense film, right?
Have you seen that?
I've purposely not watched it because he looks intense in it, and I don't know if I can handle the switch of persona. Do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's got a little bit of his Andy Taylor persona.
Yeah.
In that he's like sort of just country boy, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
and the kind of wisdom that goes along with that.
Yeah.
Regular guyness. Patricia Neal's in it. She plays a radio producer who wants to interview the common man. She goes into a jailhouse and finds him, and basically he has this meteoric rise to like stardom, and he becomes this almost like sort of fascist political influence. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
yeah.
I have that on my list. I've been working through the Library of Congress's National Film Registry, mm-hmm. which is they kind of pick like 20 films every year that are deemed historically, culturally, and aesthetically significant. You can tell I've read the Wikipedia articles enough times, but that is, I believe, a film on the list. So.
Yeah, I'm impressed you were even aware of it. It's so obscure, yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting list for that reason, because they put things on there for many different reasons, but yeah, we'll see. Let me some Andy Griffith. And we also did Cyndi Lauper's The Goonies, quote, are, quote, good enough. I was just reading the other day about the song, and unsurprisingly, Cyndi Lauper did not want it to be called that.
Yeah.
But the movie studio was like, gotta get that brand in. but yeah, I'm a huge Goonies fan. My little brother and I, that's our sibling movie. You know, that one movie you can always agree on mm-hmm. to watch together. And I truly believe that song is on par with, like, you know, when you watch Star Wars and there's like John Williams music and you hear it and it just perfectly captures everything. That's what that song is for the Goonies. And Cyndi Lauper was actually in charge of the soundtrack. Steven Spielberg gave her free reins for the movie, which is why there's some really cool stuff on there. But yeah.
Yeah, I remember the video for that song.
Yeah.
It was like it overlapped with her sort of, I don't know what you call it, her foray into the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
So Captain Lou Albano is in the the video.
It's wild. I think like the Bengals are in it as like female pirates, maybe, and also the cast. Yeah, it's a good little film.
It's a really interesting sort of pop culture confluence, that moment in the 80s.
But I truly believe that's a great song. I often preface my music taste with, just so you know, I think Cyndi Lauper's The Goonies Are Good Enough is one of the greatest songs ever made. And usually people walk away at that point. It's okay. But she wasn't a huge fan of the song. I think she didn't want to perform it live for a very long time. But a lot of people loved it. I think she does it now. But it's a good one. Movie Rex, TV Rex. Yeah. Watch The Goonies.
I feel like we need to rebrand this. Welcome to Stacks on Stacks, the university's library radio show about TV and movies.
Yeah.
Because, like, Joe always asks me, have you seen this movie? And I'm like, no. Have you seen this? I'm like, no. So, like, this is great.
Have you seen The Goonies?
Well, yeah, I've seen The Goonies.
Yeah, some people don't like The Goonies. Like, in the film community, is very split.
I'll be honest. Yeah, well, it's not my favorite, but
I do think, seeing it as a kid, you know, it's one of those things that, like, you know, you grow up with it. The adventure of it is a lot of fun. Young Josh Brolin riding a bicycle is what happens when that song plays in the movie. A little girl's bicycle.
Was that it? Is that how we came out of it?
I don't know. Should we play a few more tracks from
Kelsey? Oh, no, I meant did we cover everything she played? What else? You got more on the list? You've programmed a pretty hefty list.
Yeah.
She was well prepared. She did the non-required homework of producing a playlist.
It was a lot of fun. Shout out to Spotify's keeping track of the things that I love, because I forget. You ever do that? You have to like research yourself.
Oh yeah.
You're like, what do I like?
How many times did I play this in iTunes? Yeah. Oh, like 800? Okay.
It seems like a good go.
How about Aretha Franklin? Want to go there?
Let's do it. You send me.
Sounds
1968.
Good. This is Stacks on Stacks, the University Libraries radio show.
to do, honey, shoo do, honey, shoo do. Oh, you thrill me, darling, you thrill me. Baby, you thrill me.
Everything good in life
In honor of Black History Month, Newman Library will be displaying Vince Haley's journey as an industrial designer in an exhibit located on the second floor. It showcases Haley's creative works and personal coaching, which have promoted a local and global well-being. You can experience Haley's journey from February 1st until March 10th. This is Stacks on Stacks, the University Libraries radio show.
And
that was perfectly timed. Oh, I cut you off too. It was like perfectly timed.
What was perfectly timed?
It like the bed track went ping, oh. And it was like
to punctuate your show ID. Yeah, so Kelsey Hammer has been with us today, and she is the digital literacy and multimedia production librarian at Newman Library.
That's right.
And we're coming up on the end of the show. What is it that we haven't gotten to? And what are you dying to get out over the airwaves?
Ooh.
That we haven't had
and
time
on
to
the
get
internet
to because
in
we were,
perpetuity.
We were playing too much
yeah.
Goonies.
Talking about
that's
your digital
hard.
Identity.
Now I'm like, I have to have a strong message.
It doesn't need to be strong.
Go meet some dogs. Go pet a dog today.
There you go.
That's it. It's a strong one. No, definitely come by Newman Library. Keep an eye out for all the cool digital literacy stuff coming your way. And yeah, we're always, always here to help. And just come up to a desk, come up to a librarian, ask us for help, and we can help you make really, really cool stuff.
I was going to say, my question for you, Kelsey, was going to be, if people just need help making stuff, can they just contact you?
Yeah, you can.
They don't have to wait for a workshop.
It feels a little
regardless
odd to be
of
like,
what the stuff is.
Email me at, but.
Well, you don't have to say that. You can just go to the website and find you.
You can use digital literacy skills to Google Kelsey Hammer for Dame Tech Libraries to find all the information that you need. Ooh, there was a nice intro there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real commercial for coming to, yeah, but come, yeah, if you have questions about design, Adobe products, social media, digital literacy, and I also research GIFs/GIFs, whatever you prefer. If you want to learn more about that, definitely come chat with me, set up a consultation.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Spending so much of your valuable time with us.
Did it live up to your expectations?
It did. I'm going to keep coming back and have my face plastered against the window every show.
Okay.
Let me in. I want to talk more, share more music. No, thank you all so much.
So I have sometimes on the show, we like to interview students who work in the library. We have them in the studio and we talk to them for about 10 minutes about what they do at Virginia Tech, what they do for the library, and how that experience is. I ran into a guy I've been trying to get on the show, Dylan Cuter, who does some AR and VR work with the library. And he's never been able to get here during the show because he's always taking like 18 credits or something like that, and he always has a class during this time period. So we just taped this in the media den at the library.
So you put your digital literacy skills to work?
Yes,
would
even though I called it
that?
Tape.
Very proud.
It was
made
actual
something.
Digital literacy.
In the library's media.
Makerspacing, yes. So yeah, and we have just about enough time to play it. It's a 9-minute interview, and then it'll be time for the news. So just should we sign off, play Dylan, and then fill any additional time with bed music?
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. We have been Stacks on Stacks, the weekly radio broadcast from the University Libraries on WUET 90.7 FM.
My name's Dylan Cuter. You may or may not already know that. I'm a junior here at Virginia Tech. I have been studying computer science for a major and studying philosophy on the side as a minor for the past 3 years. Although now I'm considering possibly adding philosophy as a second major because you don't need to take too many extra courses for it, and it's a lot of fun. But that's what I study, and for the last year and a half or two, I've worked for the library as what my boss, Todd Ogle, wants to call, or is calling a pathfinder. And so our job title is to kind of explore the routes that faculty at the library doing projects and software development usually don't take because they're not like of primary interest. So apps on the side here and there, little things that we can like have the opportunity to build is the kind of stuff that I focus on.
So, there's a lot to unpack in what you just said, but let's start with that last bit. You say you're working on, as a pathfinder, you called it, for Todd Ogle, taking projects in directions that those librarians who are primarily focused on these projects wouldn't take them. So you're taking alternate paths for projects simultaneously with like a primary path that the regular full-time librarians are taking. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's about right. And it's not entirely that, but it mostly consists of that. So to give to stop speaking abstractly and to give a few examples, one of those is an app called CI Spy. So CI Spy is an iPad application that helps students around fifth grade learn historical inquiry by making it look like there are buildings that are no longer in a site look like they're there. So students take these iPads out to Christiansburg Institute, which is a historically black institute. I'm not exactly sure when, but most of the buildings have been...
Up until 1966, yeah. When Virginia finally integrated.
It's funny, most people like you know the history around it. I don't know that much history around it because I just code the thing. But it's most of the buildings have been since taken down. And so what the app does is it uses augmented reality to help make it look like those buildings are still around and encourages the students to, like, quote unquote, go inside and inspect different pieces of evidence that help them understand what the history behind it is like.
So augmented reality, what you mean is students can tour the site, be physically on the site with their phones, and the phones can say, now you're standing in the only building that comes to mind is Ed Gray Long, but that's the one that's actually there. But you're saying buildings that are no longer there.
Right.
They can virtually, in some sort of augmented reality fashion, walk through them.
Yeah, exactly. So they walk around the field, around the buildings. They see what the site used to look like. And then once they get close to one, they can actually go inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and so the reason I brought that up is because it was a project that was conceived of and built like five-ish years ago by Todd and another team and some other people. And more recently, it broke because the technology that was allowing it to function was bought by another company and everything broke and it needed to be fixed. And so what ended up happening was myself and some others rebuilt it from the ground up in order to be more modern and extendable so that it can be used again by teachers and can be built onto for if anyone wants to develop it further.
When you say rebuilt it, do you mean you wrote the code that builds a virtual environment?
Yeah, we rebuilt the whole app from scratch.
So that's a project you're working on, it sounds like, in partnership with folks in the library, but it doesn't sound like it illustrates what you're as an alternative pathway of development, or does it? Like, there are two pathways this project is taking?
Yeah, I think, that's why I said it mostly takes the role of developing things that otherwise wouldn't be developed. I don't think that that they would have someone like faculty full time work on this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think it would sort of have done its thing 5 years ago or a couple years ago, and when it broke, I think it maybe sort of would have stayed that way. But since Todd is able to hire people like myself to work on that don't have other jobs that faculty do, then I think that they take that direction. Another example is like Shakespeare's Garden virtual reality, which is, as you know, a theater it's based off of Shakespeare's Garden, which was originally a theater installation in the Cube, that then working with Chris Miller, I built a virtual reality experience that had roots in that.
Wow, so cool. So, are you working with, I assume you're working with Moss folks and maybe theater arts folks on that, and are there history people that are cooperating on Christiansburg Institute?
Yeah, all of these projects are very interdisciplinary like that, and that's what makes them some of the most enjoyable things I've done here at Tech. I mean, everybody involved is from different disciplines. History, just to name a few, history, visual arts, the School of Performance, like people that aren't necessarily associated with a particular college, like Todd, who does the project management for all these things, myself in computer science. It's just great.
And it sounds like that's right in your wheelhouse. I mean, you mentioned in your introduction and this is another thing I said, meant when I said I wanted to unpack some things in what you said, computer science major and developing likely a philosophy major. So it sounds like you really appreciate placing STEM fields in conversation with the humanities.
Yeah, I think they're inseparable, actually. And nothing has made me realize that more than the beginning of this semester, actually. I'm taking a course on the way that computing affects ethics and if it introduces new ethical issues. And in other classes, we've talked about the way technology affects our society. And I think maybe a lot of people, including myself earlier, are of the opinion that like the technologies and sciences and everything are separate from the humanities. But really, it's a back and forth relationship. They both relate to each other all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really important relationship, I think. You're right when you say that it's you're in a kind of non-traditional role for a student employee at the library. So how did it come about?
It all goes back to a class that I took a couple semesters ago. I think one of the semesters of my sophomore year, I took a class, an art class called Creative Computing, and it's taught by Zachary Dewar, and it was about using code to like make things that are art or like considered art or visualize data, just to use it in not really the conventional way. And I had a great time. It was one of the best classes I took so far here at Tech. And it was a great experience. And then, you know, come, I think a semester and a half later, and Zach had told Todd, this is when CI Spy broke, like right around this time. And then Todd was looking for someone to fix it. And he had, I think he had just come to the library, come to the library, and he asked Zach for recommendations. And Zach told him about me. And then I met Todd and met Chris Miller through Todd. And it sort of, all just went from there. Different people wanted to do different projects and they had wages and I had the time. So it all just kind of happened.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a great opportunity for you and a great example of just like what can happen when you put your effort into things that interest you and that you have passion about, and it leads to opportunities like this.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us. We love to have these conversations with students who are working in the library and other folks who are working in the library. It's great to get these stories out over the air. Any parting words? Or
I would just add that you said that it's great like to kind of like use your passion to work on projects like that, but I also think it's great to do those projects because sometimes they help develop your passion. And I had no idea that I wanted to work with art or any of that stuff, anything humanities related. I just was like, okay, computer science, like this kind of thing. And then this whole experience has changed that a lot.
So what you're saying is make sure as a regular means of personal development, step outside your comfort zone every now and then.
Yep, the old cliche.
Thanks so much for joining us, Dylan.
Absolutely, thank you.
This is the town and these are the people. This is the town where the people all stay. This is the town and these are the people. That's the way they wanted it. That's the way it's going to stay. Everything needs one.